Should be good.
All right, we're going to continue our study from this morning, looking at the life of Elijah. And to do that, we're going to go to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. All right, kids. What do we have here?
Chips.
And now, is this a sacred table? Can I put chips here? Okay. Is the showbread common as long as they have kept themselves from women for 3 days?
Yeah.
So kids, I'm going to let your parents, is that right, brother? Is that a smirk, or are you laughing, or thinking about all the stuff you had to clean up in the basement? All right. So kids, if your parents think you're good during this 3.5 hour message, then you can have a bag of chips before you leave. All right, Proverbs chapter 24, we're going to take a look at a verse there and then jump back to 1 Kings 19. We don't want to leave our guy Elijah hanging. Now, we did see in the first service that because he did not respond the right way, he had two very difficult things he had to face. First, he had to anoint the king over a pagan country that would come in and do damage to Israel. And the second thing is, he got replaced. You know, and I mean, that's kind of final. Now, you can still serve the Lord without a title. We all know that. But when you're the prophet of the Lord and God is working in your life and you refuse to respond to how he's working, that's kind of final. You know, when God says, no more mantle for you, no more position. And as I was saying to our brother at lunch there, even though now I'm called a missionary, I still have a pastor's heart. And I want people to do well tomorrow at work, or maybe tonight when you have to close up the shop, or you've got to, wherever you are in life, God's word works on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays, not just Sunday and Wednesday in church. So I want it to be a blessing to you. So Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, who'd like to read that for me?
For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief.
Mm-hmm. Now, where we're from, Brother Dale, we try to, you know, be courteous and things like that. We had a young lady stand up to read, and you just cut her off, Elijah. So no hospital visitation for you. No, okay. That's all right. Thank you for your willingness.
Amen. Yeah.
What does it say? The just man what?
Falls.
Does it say when the just man falls? If the just man falls. What does it say?
It says 7 times.
Well, we're going to get there, Ronnie. But before we find out how many times, what does it say?
When.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how far we fall determines by two things. What we get ourselves into, okay? And then how quickly we respond to God trying to pull us out. Amen?
That's right.
Okay. So sometimes, especially dealing with new Christians, they're surprised. They haven't learned Jeremiah 17:9. Anybody know what that says? The heart is, the heart is desperately wicked above all. And we say, now I got messed up. Heart is desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful. Excuse me. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And sometimes we get surprised when some of them thoughts and maybe some of those actions, things come out of our mouth, are done by us, we're sometimes surprised. And by the grace of God, they don't happen to us. But let me just say that a just man falleth. But what's the difference? What does it say? The just man falleth what? Ronnie, now's your time.
7 times.
7 times. And then what does he do? What does she do?
He gets back up.
He gets back up. What's it say at the end of the verse?
And then the wicked shall fall into
mist. And he doesn't get back up. Notice that the wicked just falls. So the difference between us falling and a wicked person falling is what we do after we fall.
That's good, brother.
That's it. You know, the wicked person just likes being in the pig pen. And they just stay there. But the righteous, let me just say, church, you will fall. At some point, you're going to struggle with something. And depending on what we put ourselves in and then how quickly we respond to God pulling us out will determine how bad things get. All right? So don't be surprised. I just say that. I'm not giving you a license to sin. Okay? Paul says in Romans that where sin abounds, yet grace does so much more abound. But then what does he say? Should we sin so we have this grace? He says, God forbid. So God forbid we do. But let me just say, the only reason we stay in sin, he says, we haven't responded to the wooing of God. Because he doesn't want us to stay that way. He does not want us to stay that way. So God wants us to get out of it. Does God want Elijah back in the battle? Yeah, what do you think? I mean, it's a man, it's a woman. In this case, a man, but it could be a woman that God's invested a great deal in. He saved him or her, given her or him a calling, a specific purpose, and they struggle with something. And God says, I don't want you to stay down. Just man falleth seven times and getteth himself aright. So let's go back over to Luke chapter 19. I'm sorry, did I say that? I'm sorry. 1 Kings 19. My fault. Yes. We're going to finish with Elijah. You didn't know Elijah was in the New Testament, huh? But 1 Kings 19. All right. Father, again, we ask your blessing on your word. And Lord, you know that sooner or later, after we have a chapter 18 experience, that we're going to struggle with a chapter 19 response. Now, God, we've seen some things that Elijah did. Father, did not respond the right way. But this session here, Lord, we want to see your heart. We want to see how you deal with us, how you try to get us out of the miry pit, get us out of the slop house, and, Father, bring us back into your service. So I pray, Lord, as we go through these points, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, help us just to realize something about your character today, how much you love us and want to use us, even if we have fallen. Amen. So bless our time now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, sometimes some of the most profound things... Oh, they're already coming to the altar. Sometimes the most profound things can be very simple, can they not?
Yeah.
Okay. So tonight, or today, this afternoon, and I do like this idea. What a blessing just to see the fellowship and everything and have that time as a church family to gather over a meal. And I just want you to know I really appreciate that. Even though it's only my third time here, I feel like I'm family.
Amen.
I think next time they'll probably ask me to, you know, vacuum, you know, the way things are going.
You'll be next.
Yeah, I'll be next, as long as I'm not the one that did it. All right. Four simple things to help us when we go through. You know, you're good, because I probably won't have to go to my chiropractor now. You know, because if I just did this, the muscles wouldn't get stretched. But because you're over there, and the one woman over here today, I got full range of motion. All right. One of the great things about having me in to preach is when people that aren't here listen to the message and trying to figure out what that whole conversation was just about. So anyway, but that's not a great thing, it's just a funny thing.
Yeah.
So four simple things that when you have your 1 Kings 19 experience and you feel yourself going through a challenge like that, this is what will help us get out of that quicker. Amen?
Amen.
Number one. Remember what God has already done for you.
Good.
Now, I could have added that to the morning message and saying he forgot. He took his problem and what did he do from this morning's point? He exaggerated, right? He did run, but he exaggerated it. Have you ever noticed in your own life when you've got this dead battery, your mind runs to something totally
right.
Out of the sell the car by tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, 6 o'clock. What dealers are open?
besides moving down the hallway on the second door on the left where the sandwiches are. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm just going to jump the barrier. But you know what? You know what did not go through my mind as I'm thinking about this dead battery? All the good things that God's done for me in the past. That's our flesh. I'm going, oh, man, what am I going to do? But I just talked to Jan. I said, Jan, I'm going to be home in 5 minutes. I'm packing the car up. I'm heading out of church now. Jan, it's going to be a while. Got a dead battery. Fortunately, I found somebody in church, used their car, jumped in. Well, maybe I kept their car. Pretty nice, isn't it? They don't know it yet. They're still cleaning. but you know what? I thought about that battery right away. You know what I forgot?
Yeah.
I forgot how God provided that vehicle for me. I forgot the people that I've been able to be a blessing to and give rides and take things to people and deliver a meal for somebody who just had surgery last week. And I quickly forgot good things God's done for me. And I found that in my mind, in my heart, when I exaggerate the problem even more, the thoughts of what God's done for me in the past escape even quicker.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about Elijah. So what has God done for him? In chapter 17, just two chapters ago, Elijah is a wanted man. Remember, Ahab, the king, does not like Elijah. He's blaming Elijah for all the problems in Israel, the northern tribes. And we say Israel in this setting, after the split with Rehoboam, generally when we refer to the northern tribes, it's the 10 northern tribes, and the two southern tribes are generally referred to as Judah. So when I say Israel, I'm talking about the 10 northern tribes. Elijah is a marked man. He's the guy pointing the bony finger, not only in the Israelites' face, but also in the government, the people in the government, Ahab and Jezebel. So he has to flee. And when he flees, it's during what period of time? 3.5 years of what? Drought. Is it easy to grow crops when it's a drought? Is it easy to go fishing when it's a drought? So what does God do? God sends him down to a brook. So early on in these 3.5 year journey of his, he goes down to the brook and God's feeding him out of the brook. Well, what happens when you don't have rain for that period of time? The brook dries up. Hopefully the brook hasn't dried up for you, but the brook dried up. And so what did God do? God miraculously sent ravens, a dirty bird, an unclean bird, according to Levitical law. God used an unclean bird to bring him food, to miraculously sustain his life, because he had something special for him to do. And then the ravens stopped. So then there's this widow woman. If you were a widow in Old Testament times, what did that usually mean for your prosperity? It wasn't good. You didn't have right to own the land. Very difficult to work. And if you have children, who takes care of the kids? So very difficult time. So how does God sustain Elijah's life? He says, I want you to go see this widow woman, and she'll make you some food. What was the widow woman getting ready to do? Yeah, make her last cake and check out. It's all she had. So Elijah says, God wants you to give that to me. Oh, really? Really? And she does. And then God blesses Elijah and her. God just gave Elijah chapter 18, right? Mount Carmel. I mean, to have wet wood. Listen, our wood is behind our shed. I put new gutters on in the fall. I had a guy put new gutters on. And he didn't have the right downspouts. So he left about a 2.5 foot piece of gutter just sticking out of the thing. And of course, where did all the water collect? On top of the tarp that was over my firewood that we kept ourselves warm from this year. Can I tell you that that's not an easy thing to start?
No.
When it's 8 degrees below zero in Rochester and you got wet wood?
Yeah.
I went and found this guy that sold kindling. I went through 12 boxes of kindling this winter, especially when your wood is damp and wet.
That's right, yeah.
And yet pours water 3 times on all this wood. And God not only consumes the sacrifice, but the wood, and licks up all. It says, yeah, I love that term. God just said, this is no big deal. Like a dog in a bowl.
Yeah.
He just licked up all that water in the trench around it. And Elijah stood right there, and none of the flames hit him. Wow, how God can provide something like that, and yet we don't feel some real personal effect or damage from it. So, and then Elijah goes and knocks out. I'd love to take out 850. You know what I mean? Those that are deceiving God's people, deceiving the lost. I'd love to be the guy that God allowed to take out 800. Or, you know, I was just thinking here, I was thinking through my message. This is such a blessing. I've had a chance to preach in a church that was started after a Charles Finney revival up in Evans Mills up by Fort Drum in the Adirondacks. A buddy of mine pastored that church for a number of years. I have a chance now to preach in a church Ari Torrey once pastored. I know it was only 4.5 minutes, but hey, I'm still putting that on my resume. But I'd love to be the guy that went into a town and preached, and so many people accepted the truth that there's no more kingdom halls or Mormon temples. I would love that. Right? And Elijah took out 850 false prophets. Not the note. Not the note. From Jezebel. Don't want to go to the Valentine's banquet with you. Drop dead. And he runs, and we saw how he responded.
Church?
Yeah.
It takes some work. Yesterday, 6:18, I wasn't thinking about the blessings of God. I was thinking about a dead battery.
That's good, bro.
I'm thinking about this cold. I'm out in the cold, taking care of this battery. And then last night, I'm out there late. This morning, I'm out there making sure the car would start and everything. And it's easy to forget the things that God has done for us.
Yep, sure.
Somebody name something God's done. That besides, okay, hold on, sweetie. I saw your hand. You're going to be very helpful, but let me put the parameters out. Because you know what parents do?
When we have these, we give them a chance to do in school. So here's the questions. Parents aren't all good. And like everybody knows that. But I talk about something real specific.
You ready? Go ahead. What's your answer? Okay. Well, you think about it. Yes, sir.
My family and everything that we have.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What's another good thing God's done for you? Yes, ma'am.
Pets.
Your pets? You like your animals? Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They were so important, God put them on the ark.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right. What else? Yes, sir.
Food, family, clothing.
Okay, you got to work with the alliteration, son.
Okay, you're going to be preaching like your dad. You got food, family, and then you went to a C. So you're either going to have another C or get back to an F. So what do you think? Fashion. Food, family, fashion.
Okay? All right. Who else? Something? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay?
They don't all listen well. I'll take his chips away, Mom.
Celebrated 43 years of marriage.
And how many women?
You lost your chips.
I lost my chips. No, I heard a comedian say that, but it was a preacher comedian, and he said, I just celebrated so many years of marriage, and this is my third one. And everybody went, amen, and then he went, whoa, should I have done that? But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Has God not been good to us?
Yes.
What did he promise us? Food? And raiment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many of you have a place to live?
Mm-hmm.
How many have something to drive?
Yeah.
How many have just some good friends in a church?
Amen.
Amen.
So, church, it's hard sometimes because we get in the flesh when a difficult time comes. We need to just kind of back up from the situation. Wait a minute. Because now, what we have to be careful of is questioning the character of God. Sometimes I don't like the circumstances that God puts in my life, but I have to be careful not to question the character of God. So stop and remember all the good things. David did this, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. If you remember, one of the enemies, that I forget what nation it was, had come in and taken all their wives and burned down Ziklag, their village, while they were out fighting a battle. And they came back, and everybody, their wives were gone, their children were gone, all that. And they were going to stone David. They felt it was his fault. Is that a tough situation to be in when your own church wants to stone? Your own people. And so, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So in difficult times, it behooves us just to remember that God has been very good to us.
That's good.
Number two, look at verse 5. 1 Kings 19, unless you're still in Luke. 1 Kings 19, verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Okay, I told you it's not rocket scientist, but it is profound. We need to take care of our temple. Does God rebuke him for taking a nap? We don't even know if he's Baptist. And he's taking a nap. Now we know it's during the day because why? He's underneath a tree trying to get some shade. He's taking a nap and it's not nighttime. Nappy nap. Yeah. So maybe he is a Baptist. And what does God do? He has a meat. I know he's a Baptist now. God's solution.
Yeah.
And does God, after he feeds him the first time, tell him to wake up and head out of town? What's he do? He lets him lay back down and get some rest. And then God lets him rest, wakes him up again, and says, you're going to need some more energy, some sustenance, some meat, because your journey is going to be difficult.
I really believe many of the emotional roller coasters that we feel within our lives, remember the whole exaggeration thing? Many of the roller coasters we feel in our lives are because we have not taken care of God's temple. And one of the key things was, who was Sabbath? Who was the Sabbath made for?
Go ahead.
See, and he cut you off before. I'll let you give the answer this time.
It was for us, right? So God institutes a law, and it's not for him. It's not for his honor and his glory. Well, in a way it is. Because you think about it. If I can't harvest my crops on a Sunday, I'm taking a chance that I won't have enough to eat. But God says, I'll bless you for honoring the Sabbath. Sometimes if my animal falls in the ditch, it might die there overnight. It's not being fed, it's not being cared. God says, I'll take care of it, but you rest on the Sabbath. And they were, you read back in Numbers, some guy went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath. Don't you know that he went to a rock concert that night? He got stoned. And it wasn't with marijuana. You think God's serious about the Sabbath? And yet, many times you ignore it. And maybe we can't go from Friday at 6 to Saturday at 6 like some people. And maybe it can't even be Sunday. Maybe Sunday's a tough day for you to have a Sabbath. But do you have a Sabbath during the week? Is there a time where you relax and just enjoy God and how God wired you? Maybe you love doing model airplanes. Isn't this spiritual? This is super spiritual, isn't it? Maybe you love doing model airplanes. While you're doing it, you're just talking with the Lord. Your thing is running. God help you. maybe your thing is whatever it might be, crocheting, knitting, whatever that stuff is that makes it look like socks when you're all done. Okay? Maybe that's your thing, and that's how you just sit there and commune with God and give your energies, your emotions, and everything a break, and you just, can we say this? We just enjoy God.
That's good.
Say, God, I enjoy baseball. I don't know why. Thank you. I can go watch a game. And I can just sit and relax and enjoy. You don't think? Here's one. My niece lives down in Northport. Port Charlotte is the home of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays spring training. That's where they play. You guys know my dad passed last November. One of the things I would do with him every March when I went down is we'd go up and see the Blue Jays play in Dunedin. It was 10 minutes from his house. Obviously, didn't have that. And my niece thought, maybe Gary would like that. The stadium's completely sold out. It's the Devil Rays, which is their home, and they play in Tampa during the season. So all those fans are down. You have the people that come down just to see them play. And then Dunedin is only an hour and a half away. So all the Tampa, the Canadians, hey. The guy's coming down, he's hawking booze. And you get down in our section where all the, I don't know, is it Canadian seats? And he goes, Tim Hortons! Tim Hortons! He literally, you get the actually packed. So it's like 5 days before I get there. And she says, would you want to go to the games? I said, yeah, I think that'd be nice. Can't go with Dad, but I can go. She got seats on the end of the row, two's up from the third base dugout. You know what? You say, what is that? What's the big deal there? You know what? God just said, go and rest. Yeah? You young people, listen. Boy, the way us older people feel. We can't enjoy rest. We think God needs us to go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Because without us going 7 days a week and burning ourselves out. Young man here? You listen, tuning in? I'm trying to save you so you don't end up like us. Alright? That we don't know how to enjoy rest. Can we learn something from the corporate world? Every time there's a beer commercial, what are they doing? 8 out of 10 times they're sitting on the dock, just relaxing in the sun. Now, I'm not advocating drinking. Please have me back again. I didn't get a chance to fix it, okay? I'm not advocating that. And the other time, they're having a wild whopper party and enjoying themselves. And we think if we have fun in this life, and I'm not talking about sin. Please stay with me, okay? We think when we have fun in this life, we got to feel guilty.
That's right.
And God says, listen, Elijah, I can't imagine running up and down that mountain, getting the wood, getting the water, getting the heifer, dressing it. Do you like pink today, or do you want to wear, you know, that whole thing, purple? I can't even imagine how physically he was exhausted he was, and emotionally, right? And God says, all right, take your nap. I'm going to let you nap a while. I want to get you up. Here's some food. Go ahead, lay back down. Did you ever notice how a good nap could change your whole disposition? You know, if not, you're going to do bodily harm to yourself, maybe one of your children. And you take a nap and you get up and go, oh, these are the best kids in the world. You with me? Simple? Simple. God says, take your rest, and I'm going to feed you too. Because if you're, you know how many lifeguards drowned every year? Aren't they there to save people? So how does a lifeguard who has some extremely difficult training, forget the Baywatch stuff, they actually have trained, you know, to be a good, you know, if you're an ocean lifeguard, we're not talking about, oh, I got to jump in the pool. It's 3 foot, buddy. No bragging, okay? You know why they drowned? The number one reason they drowned? Because they were out partying the night before, and they were fatigued when they got called upon to perform their rescue duties. You know what happens to us? We burn ourselves out. Sometimes for God, sometimes you just can't turn the TV off, can't turn the internet off, can't whatever.
Good,
you don't go to bed in time, and we burn ourselves out. And then God says, I got 850 prophets for you to kill, and we barely get through that, and then we get the note. Get the note, and because we're not rested up, we run. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, profound, isn't it? Is this what's in the passage? We got to take care of our temple. We got to use the Sabbath. Number three. First is remember what God's already done for us. Number two is take care of our temple. Number three, look at verse 11. And this is God dealing with him. Remember in verse 10, Elijah once again says, hey, I'm jealous for the Lord God of hosts, children of Israel, forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Number three is, you have to get out of the cave to see God pass by. Okay? So, God, get me out of this cave. No, there are some things that I have to do. What does he say? Draw nigh unto God and what? He will draw nigh unto you. If you make one step out of the pews, thank you for the illustration, sir. I love when you get help with your messages. You take one step out of your pew towards God, he'll beat you to the altar. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. See, God didn't go in the cave. He said, you come out of the cave, and I'm going to pass by, and then we can deal with each other. And I'm going to try to pull you out of this pit you're in. Amen? So what are some caves that people run to? Saved or lost? Just name some caves that people run to.
My room.
Money.
Okay, money. Somebody say something over here. Sorry.
I have my room.
Your room? Okay. You have a woman cave?
Yep.
Instead of a man cave? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The bedroom? Sometimes they just go there and hide?
Yeah.
Where else? What's that? Outside? You like going outside? Okay.
In the car.
In the car? See, now, if you notice, the parents are scared to death to say anything because of my disclaimer before. I can't get anything out of them. So where does man run? What are some caves that we run to when we're running from God? Facebook. Okay? Boy, that can shoot up a good 3 weeks of your life in 2 hours. Okay, we're going to give the adults a chance, okay, sweetie? But you remember it in case they run out of answers, all right?
The world.
The world? Okay. Where are some of our caves?
Drinking
bars. Okay. Ah, we're going out of Louise again. Oh, we're going to go to so-and-so's garage or something like that. And the thing is, God says, you went there of your own accord. So now, I want to help you get out of that pit, get out of that cave. You step outside the cave, and then I'll pass by. What do we say? If we could see God do something, that would get me out of this the way I feel.
That's right.
And God's, here's the cave opening, and God's going to do this. How long was I in front of the cave? Second? So God says, you step out, you be willing to take the first step. You come out of the cave, and then I'm going to pass by, and you're going to get to see all of me. So we do have to make a step towards God.
Like I said, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. It is interesting, he says here, that go forth and stand upon the mount. The term go forth is used 95 times in scriptures, and sometimes, even in the most stupid places, that's what God's advice is. Here's the children of Israel. They're out of Egypt.
Everything's looking good. They're trucking out in the wilderness. This is the Exodus. And all of a sudden, they turn around behind them, and what do they see? Pharaoh and his army decides to change their minds. Okay? He's thinking, what am I doing? Yeah, he killed my firstborn. Let's go kill them. So the whole Egyptian army comes after the children of Israel. Now, they're out in the desert in between these mountains. So they got a mountain on one side, mountain on the other. They got the Red Sea in front of them, and they got the Egyptian army coming behind them. And Moses cries out to God. God slaps him around and gives him a two-word answer. Go forward, which is pretty close to forth. Go forward. And God says, go forward. Man, I just want to get out of this cave. Okay, let me show you how you do that. Yeah, profound, isn't it? Right on. Give it to anybody. I want to see God work. Get out of the cave. But I'm feeling depressed. Just take that step out of the cave. Whatever it is that we retreat to, whatever our Mount Horeb is, which has a spiritual connotation, but all it is the Old Testament law where we're comfortable. Isn't it? Why do so many people like religion? Because there's no thought. I passed by some of them driving down here today. They're just coming out, they put their time in, they punch their card, and there's no thought. And they love religion because it's all done for them. God doesn't want cookie cutters. God wants people to think. So I'm going to run to Horeb because I'm just comfortable here in my cave. God says, did you ever notice there's no furniture to sit on in the tabernacle? There is no furniture in the tabernacle for the priest or anybody else bringing their offering to sit on. Because God's work is not always comfortable. You want to see me pass by? You're only going to get a 1 second glimpse. Now step out of the cave. Let me show you myself. So, church, the next thing, we have to make a step to get out of the cave if we want to see God. And here's the fourth thing. Look at verse 11. This is our last point. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Surely that must have been God, even if your name isn't Shirley. But what does it say?
the Lord was what?
No.
Not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Surely that's got to be it. And he says, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Oh, man. Hey, God's going back a chapter. Remember this one, Elijah? Remember the fire, Elijah? Now you definitely got to connect. Oh, this has got to be God now. Here comes the fire. What does he say? And after the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So point number four, don't expect a big show. I'm depressed, God. I'm actually thinking about hurting myself. And if I haven't gone that far, I'm thinking about just checking out of Christianity, if not checking out of life. I'm really depressed. I'm emotionally upset. God, I need to see you. And what would we love to see? The earthquake, the fire, the wind. Wait a minute, earth, wind, and fire. Sounds like a good name for a group. What does God do to kind of Elijah? Oh, boy. Did I vote for the earthquake? That's pretty impressive.
Sure.
You know, amen. On demand? I mean, what is that? Channel 482? You know, on demand earthquakes? You know, Time Warner? The fire? That'd be pretty cool. I mean, we just saw some crispy critters last chapter. Why not a few more of this one? We'd love to have the wind, right? God says it's the still voice. Can I recommend a still small voice to you?
Yeah, buddy.
What? Isn't it interesting when we say that we can't see God in our everyday lives, we neglect the book that He uses to speak to our hearts and joints and soul and marrow?
Yes,
the very book He speaks to us, we walk away. I just don't see God anywhere. Read me. Just breathe. You enjoy. Just breathe me. Want the fire, don't we?
Yep.
We want the earthquake, we want the wind, we want, oh yeah, that Twister, that was a cool movie, you know, the whole house disappeared. Woo! It's got to be God. Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Zechariah 4:10 goes on to say, for who hath despised the day of small things? I don't know. Do you think anybody got saved this morning in our first service? We don't know, but we didn't have a show of hands, right? But I wonder if somebody got moved a little bit closer to the true character of God. Now, can we count that? Can we send it into a report somewhere? Despise not the day of what? Small things. And sometimes we miss some great things of God because we expect them to be in this kind of package. God, I got to see my entire class at high school get saved. Then I'll know you're real. Really? Really? You know what I mean? Really? How about one kid walk up to you and say, hey, I hear you go to such and such Bible study. How come you haven't invited me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we're expecting the big show, and God has a still small voice. Psalm 61:3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Do you realize that was written before Elijah's issue? David wrote that. David was alive before Elijah. He could have used that verse. What does it say? You're a strong tower from the enemy. Don't you think that would have encouraged Elijah? How about Psalms 9:9? The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So instead of running to the cave, why don't we run to the Lord?
That's right.
We run to the Lord. Psalm 59:16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Isaiah 28:10 says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Amen.
No earthquake, no fire, no high winds blowing everything over. All God wants is the Son of the Lord. Elijah, you got to get up and stand upon the mountain. And when you get there,
come out and walk with God. Turn to Job chapter 23 and we'll be done. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. As I read through this, tell me if you have felt this in your own lives. 23 verse 8. This is Job speaking. I'm sure you're familiar with what happened to Job. Lost his family, lost his cattle, lost all his houses, lost all his servants. His wife turned on him, and then eventually he lost his health. And in the midst of dealing with that, Job gives this account of how he feels. And see if it sounds a little bit like Elijah. Job 23:8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Speaking of God. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. Have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
You go forward and you're thinking, where is he? Well, maybe I passed him. So I'm going to back up. And I still can't perceive him. I can't find God. See, again, that's why religions are cool. Because you can keep God in a box. You keep God in a set of rules. And anytime you want him, you pull him out. You find out that's not God. That's not the real and living God. Look at 9. I looked on the left hand where he doth work. Look what's going on over here at Black Creek. There's God. If somebody else comes to look for him, I don't see it. Can't despise the biggest small things. You don't know what God's doing. The church may not be on fire with an earthquake and high winds, but there's still that small voice coming out of Black Creek Baptist Church in this community. So I went on the left where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. Okay, knock it off. I'm not in the hide and seek with God. Where'd you go? Where are you? He says, I go forward, I can't find him. I back up, I didn't go by him. I'm over here on the left where he's working, and I don't see him. I'm over here, and he's hiding himself. Knock it off. You know, at some point you're playing hide and seek and they got a great spot. What do? You flip out. I'm going to kill your puppy if you don't come out because I can't find you. You just get upset. But see, God loves the pursuit of our heart pure. Not chasing him down to get something from him. Just get him. Ever see in the Old Testament the priests couldn't have land? Levitical priesthood, they couldn't have land. You know why? It says the Lord God was their inheritance. And according to Peter, we are a priest of God. Verse 10. This is the good part. But he knoweth the way that I take. I may have a hard time finding God, but he hasn't had a hard time keeping track of me. But when he hath tried me, I shall what? Come forth as gold. You know how I come forth as gold? 8 and 9. I just keep trying to find him. Even if it doesn't feel like I find him, I just keep pursuing God. I just keep, like that deer, you winged, and you see the drops of blood, and you see the blood of Christ, and you see God doing something, but maybe in your heart you're struggling to say, man, I've really attached myself to God, I'm just struggling. You will come forth as gold as you pursue him. As you pursue him. I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. You know what that is? That's doing what's right even if you don't feel like it. That's virtue. Neither have I gone back from the commandments, the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Even Job knew that you maintain your relationship with God through his word. Through his word. And even when it seems like you can't find out what God's doing or where he's acting or you know what why he's letting you go through something, you're going to find the pursuit of God through his word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God will test you. The devil will tempt you. And the question is, how will we respond? Brother Dale?